It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on, hey, 4-20-23, April the 20th, 2023. Sorry about the late start. For some reason or another, the screaming interface was not being cooperative. I don't know why, but it started cooperating, and not going to complain. Glitches that self-resolve are the best glitches of all. Away with you, little gremlins. Away. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the internet, interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And, you know, whatever time it is when you listen to the podcast. But if you would like to join in the 420 celebration, pop on by the HeadOn.live chat room, where you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Irish Dave and Squeaky, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has folded space on this most special of days to become Man Cave. And please pardon the sound of the lawnmower in the background. That's why I'm leaving the drum loop going as long as I have. No, that's just it. There, hear the mower? Yeah. Ferg is mowing right now around the studio because he's trying to fulfill a promise that he made to his little 5.5-year-old daughter that she could play with water balloons. So he's getting it all tidy and nice so that she can go out and splash and sploosh and probably throw water balloons at her father. Oh, yeah, that's nice and loud, son. He said he'll get her out of the front as quickly as he possibly can so that it won't interfere with the program, but we'll deal with it for the time being. What a beautiful day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Manchinistan. I tell you what, absolutely gorgeous. My gracious, listen to that Husqvarna roar. And suddenly it's not. Stop it, Robin. Stop it. It's a beautiful day. I got to go out and went and saw a friend of mine. We sat and chatted on the front porch and hadn't seen each other in a while. It was just lovely to see her. And came back and got into the Horn broadcast chair of excellence. Didn't know we had one of those, did you? Neither did I. Oh, come on. I'll be okay. I hit the scream button, and I was told it had there was an error adding a buffer. So I hope the stream is going out. It looks like it's going out. Yes, apparently so, because I have my daily Herb Kane 999 streaming notification from Brother Deacon Asa. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, consequently, thanks go out to our 20th day of the month subscribers via PayPal, our 420 crowd today. And that means thanks to our pal Reverbo, the human man. Thanks to Dr. John. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Vincent. Thank you, Armand. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep this little effort in independent progressive broadcasting going. Where that leaves us, the fundraising goal is at $1,700. If we could come up with one day's broadcast funding, we would be at least not facing a $2,000 fundraising hole tomorrow, Friday on the front porch. I don't know if that's possible or not, but we will see. Subject line, lawnmower. Matt in San Francisco. Did Ferg run out of dynamite? It's much more dramatic to start blasting Robin Ghost on air. Acme Industries have finally wised up and stopped delivering to this address, Matt. That's good. Hold on. It's good when we can start with a cowbell that early, Matt. Thank you. Did Ferg run out of dynamite? Sometimes things just strike me funny, and that's one of those things. Darlene with a reminder. Hey, Darlene, up in Connecticut. If you don't have to pay for the mowing, then I say don't knock it. I'm collecting quotes for lawn care this summer, and the prices are double to triple what I've been paying for the last 19 years. Don't knock it. Oh, I'm not. It's just his... It's a sense of timing, frankly. I pay for the gas and a whole lot of other things, and he gets out and rides around on the mower. And I appreciate it. I only found out a couple of days ago, a couple of years back, I bought my first electric yard appliance. It was an electric weed eater. And I said, could you get that out for me, son? Because I like weed eating, and it's really good for me to break a sweat, and it makes me happy. And he said, did I not tell you? Tell me what? Oh, that got stolen. Don't! Not sure when it got stolen, but it got stolen. And thank you so much to George and Coarse Gold. George would like some companionship in a 420 challenge. George has put forward $42 and would like others to do the same for this national green leafy substance holiday. And that would be fine. I don't have any 420. If I did, I would still wait until after the show, because, dude, I'm no good on the air like that, you know? Thank you. Thank you, George. Thank you so very much. So, as it stands, we are now down to, 1658 to go. What, Randy Radar? Insurance claim! Let's hope not. You gotta have the insurance to claim it. I've never been able to find an insurer, a homeowner's insurance carrier, who would actually cover this place. Old, no central heat. So, and besides, it would never. It would, you know, the deductible wouldn't. It wouldn't meet the deductible. Now, anyway, so this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, where to begin? Because I've got a stack this evening. How about some today in January 6th? Well, according to a news release, today, from the Department of Justice, Nathan Donald Pelham of Where Else, Texas. I mean, that's not fair. Where Else, Texas? It could be also Where Else, Alabama? Where Else, South Carolina? You know, the usual, you know, Tennessee. Hell, West Virginia. But Nathan Donald Pelham comes from Greenville, Texas. He's 40 years old. And this happened on April the 12th. But when he was told that he would be charged with participating in the domestic terrorism attack on the Capitol of the United States on January the 6th, 2021, he didn't take it well. Nathan Donald Pelham didn't, no. On April the 11th, he was charged with 4 misdemeanors based upon his participation in the domestic terrorist attack on the Capitol on January 6th. An FBI agent told him that he was being charged, and they had till the 17th day of April to surrender. Mighty nice of the FBI to let a domestic terrorist have damn near a week to surrender. And later in the same day, one of Pelham's kinfolk called the cops and said, "I'm a little worried about Donnie. He don't seem all right, and he's got a gun. I'm surprised it's not a crime in the state of Texas to tell the cops that some dangerous asshole has a gun." Oh, by the way, we've got it. You know, there's another one of those stories out there now. A dude in North Carolina came out and started shooting at people when a basketball rolled into his yard. He apparently has not yet been taken into custody. He shot a man. He grazed the man's wife, and the couple's little girl got a bullet fragment in her cheek. Because feed 'em. Wolverines! Yeah. Little girl was 6 years old, is 6 years old. She's okay. As of the last report I saw, the daddy's still in the hospital. Mama has come home. He got, in Gastonia, North Carolina, got all burnt up because some folks were playing hoops out in the street on a basketball goal that had been put up. It was about 7:45 p.m. The Queen City News had the report. And Robert Louis Singletary, for once not an old white man, he's 24, came barreling out of his house, started shooting. A woman named Ashley Hildebrand, who also lived in the neighborhood, whose family member was shot, said I heard the pow, 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 and I thought it was fireworks. Then I heard the pow, 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 and everybody started yelling, get in the house, get in the house, get in the house, get in the house! And meanwhile, Singletary is still not in custody. Four counts of attempted first-degree murder, and two counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury, and a count of possession of firearm by a felon, so the NRA can breathe easy because at least this asshole wasn't a lawful gun owner. But back to, back to Nathan Donald Pelham. After being told that he had a gun and was acting squirrely, the cops showed up. The house was dark. And so the cops lit it up with their searchlights. And then Nathan Donald Pelham's daughter came out of the house. And she was put in a cruiser. And then the cops heard the gunshots start. And by around 9:38 p.m., Mr. Pelham, a previously convicted felon, walked out onto the porch and started taking pot shots at the cops. Who were talking about the whizzing bullets on their body cams. Funny how those body cams are... All the audio from those is always available when it works to the benefit of the cops. Not certainly not defending this maggot's behavior. No. But the thing is, he started shooting. And the cops told him to stop. But he continued to brandish his weapon, and then he went inside the house. Then at 10:46 p.m., Nathan Donald Pelham walked out of his house and began squeezing off rounds again. Nobody got hurt, and, well, you know, the cops just packed up and left at 21 minutes past midnight. Apparently, while he was standing on the porch shooting at the cops were somehow, well, pity stayed their hands, I suppose. Not real sure when they took Nathan Donald Pelham into custody, but when law enforcement did search his house, they found a Smith & Wesson 9mm semi-automatic pistol, found four boxes of 9mm ammunition, and they couldn't help noticing the numerous 9mm holes in the walls. And I have no idea why the cops just didn't waste him, but, oh, yes, I do. Come on, we all do. But where before he was only facing a max, which he would not have been given, of 3 years on his misdemeanor charges for participating in a terrorist attack on the Capitol of the United States on January 6, 2021, if he got the max, it was 3 years, he probably would have gotten a Laurel and Hardy handshake based on the way things are working out out here with the misdemeanor case. Well, no. Now Nathan Donald Pelham is looking at 15 years in the federal stir on the felony gun charge. Maybe the DOJ will negotiate that away in exchange for a misdemeanor plea to, you know, stream littering or something. Sorry, I know that's cynical and sarcastic of me, but it's not like I don't have a basis for feeling that way. So we'll see how long that takes to resolve, and hopefully when the story pops, we'll be able to report on the slap on the wrist that he'll get. Flavio says, in case you weren't dismayed enough, Fox's massive Dominion settlement is tax deductible. I said that. I said that two nights ago. The company could deduct up to $213 million from their income taxes under provisions in the American Tax Code that allow companies to write off legal bills as ordinary and necessary costs of doing business. And since it was a settlement between two private entities, two companies, it's exactly that, cost of doing business. A capitalist economy and a capitalist government and a capitalist country is going to have capitalist laws to protect capitalist corporations. Steve in New York wants to know, what would make you cynical and sarcastic? By Jove, I can't figure out why. I know. Tis a puzzlement. Don in West Tennessee, I have not tried them. I don't even know if they sell here, but maybe that might be worth the inquiry. Don in West Tennessee notes he has homeowners, and his cabin was built in 1856. That's not a typo, 1856. Don, I know West Tennessee, but do you live anywhere near the area that has formerly been known as the Shakes? Because that was where David Crockett decamped for. It's an area that gets jiggled every so often by the New Madrid Fault. Just curious. Oh, let's see. In yesterday's program, we had the clip of marginal trailer queen coming unhinged because she couldn't impugn the Secretary of Homeland Security. Well, now there's a report from CNN that says that her fellow Republicans, many of them maggots, of course, if not most or all of them, are pretty put out with her. Melanie Zanona for CNN said GOP tensions flaring over MTG's committee hearing outburst. Source close to Chairman Mark Green said he was furious with MTG's behavior and planned to privately reprimand her. Also said he'd encourage McCarthy to remove her from the committee if she did that again. If she did that again. Forgive, forgive, forgive. If a cue ball maggot strike thee on thy left cheek, turn that also to them the other one, and forgive them 70 times 7. Marginal trailer queen apparently told Melanie Zanona that she told weaker speaker, you know, whose testicles she keeps in a quart mason jar in the back of her refrigerator, back behind all the pint bottles of pee-pee that she has stockpiled to hold off the Rona. I don't know how we're ever going to accomplish anything when we can't call people a liar when they're lying, she said, dressing down the weaker speaker. The CNN news item said GOP lawmakers on the committee, speaking on condition of anonymity, told CNN that Green's behavior was an unnecessary distraction and complained that they had to waste valuable hearing time over the dust-up. representing Tony Gonzalez. You remember Tony Gonzalez from a few programs back. Representing Tony Gonzalez said, and he was the one that told the women of America to sit down and shut up, that there was other things a hell of a lot more important than their bodies and talking about abortion all the time. There's a crisis at the southern border. Remember him? Tony Gonzalez has had Marginal Trailer Queen come and pay a visit to his district. He said the incident in the hearing was unfortunate, but that he thought Chairman Green, that he's a 2E Green, Marge is a 3E Green. I thought he did a good job managing the committee as best he could. But the sooner we can get back to the kind of civility amongst colleagues, the better for everybody. Correction, Steve in New York says, she keeps the weaker speaker's testicles in a snuff box. A jar is too big. Okay. That's worth a jingle. Flavio, you silly, silly man. MTG, you mean she wasn't expelled? No. She's got far too little melon in her skin, and they don't have a supermajority in the House of Representatives, so they can't run around throwing people out willy-nilly. Wait a minute, Lee in New York says. Marjorie Trailer Park Gangrene became unhinged. That implies she was ever hinged. I have seen no evidence of her hingedness. True enough. And Lee in New York says, happy 420. Smoke them if you got them. I don't got them. Although I swear I am going to work on getting my medical card. It's just horribly complex here and also expensive because they don't want people to really have them. But they done got a dispensary that's opened up in Beckley. Yeah, I know. But again, I would never blaze up and go on the air.
Hey, dude, let's listen to Dark Side of the Moon.
No. And it's been a while since we had any. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Steve, yes. Steve in New York. They couldn't expel her, but they did give her detention. Somehow, I've got a mental image of her drawn in that Matt Groening Simpson style. I will not call the secretary a liar even if he is. I will not call the secretary a liar even if he is. You know. And then there's Dr. Mark Lowenthal. Because we've got some COVID-19 news. This happened on Tuesday. It was a hearing regarding COVID-19. And, of course, she was conniptionizing. And she went after Dr. Lowenthal because she doesn't like the way the intelligence community is run.
The intelligence community is able to figure out immediately who was leaking classified information in a Discord chat, but yet still doesn't want to say whether it came from the lab or didn't come from the lab. The intelligence communities seem to release...
It's a lab leak! You know, when Marginal Trailer Queen is hollering lab leak, you can almost go to the bank on the fact that it's not a lab leak.
Or not release information based on how the information will affect the government that it seems to protect. Yet, unfortunately, so many times it doesn't release or not release the information. The people that it serves, and I'll remind everyone, is paid for by the taxpayers of America. I would like to point out that the State Department fact sheet on January 15, 2021, knew a lot of information about the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So that means our intelligence community knew a whole lot more before that. They knew, the U.S. government believes that there were several researchers inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology became sick in the autumn of 2019. Before the CCP first reported cases of COVID-19, they also knew that the CCP was preventing journalists, investigators, and global health authorities from accessing the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They also knew that starting...
We know she's an idiot. But she's reading prepared text here. That no one in their right mind thinks that she done wrote all by her lonesome self. So that means not only is she an idiot, she has an office full of idiots. Which means in turn that there is a maggot idiot bench of congressional staffers. Remember, the entire government, the entire Congress for the most part, the Congress runs on the efforts of underpaid 22-year-olds. But did you catch the front end there? Well, you were able to find that heroic young white Christian man who leaked documents on a Discord server. Well, you know, Marge, you freaking idiot. Generally speaking, Chinese intelligence isn't put on Discord servers run by pimply-faced, horny boys. But that, of course, is a... That's a brain cell too far, isn't it? Flavio says, she always looks like she's about to fling poo. Monkey see, monkey do. We're talking about monkey do there. It's a lab leak. Lee says she saw a white mouse. They only live in labs.
In 2016, well before this, the Wuhan Institute of Virology was researching the bat coronavirus with the closest relationship to SARS-CoV-2, 96.2% similar. The Wuhan Institute of Virology has published record of dangerous gain-of-function research.
Dangerous.
And the State Department memo also said that the U.S. government determined the Wuhan Institute of Virology collaborated on publications and secret projects with the CCP military since at least 2017. And you know what else we know? We know that Dr. Fauci in the NIH
is the devil.
Through grants, Eco Alliance, with the gain of function research. We know that for a fact. Our government paid for it. Our taxpayers, unfortunately, unknowingly, paid for it. So we know all this to be true, and we know.
I love how that phrase, gain of function research, has become such a bugaboo for the maggots. Why would you ever want to research how diseases get more diseasey? That's dangerous. The stupid. It hurts us. Ralph's pointing out, maybe, okay, Ralph, there's a cowbell. Maybe MTG's interns are hires from Q. Makes complete and total sense. And what was that word she stumbled over a minute ago? Was she getting ready to say collaboracated? It sounded like she was about to say collaboracated. Gain of function, Zong! Yeah, I know, Emilio. But do go on, Einstein.
No, it was going on at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Mr. Lowenthal, with your dedication
Dr. Lowenthal,
to being an analyst of information, why is it so hard to determine whether COVID-19 came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology or not?
Because the Chinese will not give us access to the information that we need. If they gave us the kind of access that Mr. Feith was talking about, if they gave us samples, if they gave us access to their records, and you will never be sure with the Chinese whether they're giving you the access that you want.
Which is a really long-winded way of saying what I said a minute ago. Because they're not dipshits enough to put it on a Discord server.
We're never going to be able to say with a high degree of certainty. It's not. May I respond to something else that you said in your comments, Ms. Green? There is a vast, vast difference between tracking a leak on a social media site and determining the origins of this disease. And to compare the two is entirely fallacious, ma'am.
Dr. Lowenthal, you've said that you keep your intelligence claims and information nonpartisan. In 2018, Mr. Lowenthal, you were quoted in the New York Times saying that President Trump is the best president that Russia ever had. That sounds pretty political
but
to me.
I was no longer an intelligence officer at the time, ma'am. I'm a private citizen.
Well, I think you have a difficult time keeping your political opinions out of your political analyst.
Analyst?
The intelligence community.
Your political analyst? Those people in the 13th Congressional District of Georgia, Stan, what the is wrong with you? I think you have a hard time keeping your political analyst out of your politics. Honey, I think you have a hard time putting on shoes that have shoelaces. I think you have a hard time leaving the house without a helmet on. But I mention all of this let me back up. Note coming in from Sumon in Arizona. I had just going back to the January 6th dude in Greenville, Texas. It just occurred to me that most of these January 6th asswipes are about my age, i.e. early 40s. This means they must have kids about the same age as my kid. Can you imagine what filth they must be pumping into the kids' minds every day? It is, says Sumon, quite depressing. Well, it is, and I'll add to that, Sumon. Imagine being more whipped up into a white, and I do mean white, hot frenzy over the paranoid ravings of Nitwit Nero to the point that you are willing to jeopardize your own liberty and your own ability to be a father to a child and engaging in a domestic terror attack on the capital of the United States. Fact of the matter is, any child of any January 6th terrorist is probably not safe and very likely should be removed from the home. Because I agree with you, Sumon. But back to that bit of COVID-19 news. Yeah, I've mentioned in the last couple of programs that there is new guidance out that says that people 65 and over are eligible for another booster, and people who are immunocompromised are eligible for another booster. There's a time frame. One of them's 4 months, the other one's 2 months since the last booster. Well, that's because there's a new variant that's making the rounds out there. This one, and thank you for sending the link along, Darlene. I was reading about it earlier today. This one's called XBB.1.16, which is also being referred to as the Arcturus variant. is making its rounds around the globe. The World Health Organization is referring to it as a variant under monitoring. That's like the third highest level of classification. Above variant under monitoring is variants of interest and variants of concern. And Jody Guest, a professor of epidemiology at Emory University's Rollins School of Public Health down in Hotlanta, said, the thing we're watching the most is how fast this is doubling in countries that it's in. It is being tracked in 29 countries, one of which is, of course, the United States of America. Guest went on and said, it started in India. We're seeing a 500% increase in the past month in the Southeast Asia region that includes India, Indonesia, Thailand, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, and the Maldives. We're seeing cases beginning a fairly steep uptick in the Eastern Mediterranean region as well. And there's a sizable jump in cases in the U.S. based on it as well. Matthew Binneker, director of clinical virology at Mayo Clinic in the greater Rochester, Minnesota metropolitan co-prosperity sphere. Hi, Jessica. Said, in the United States, we've started to notice it increasing over the last month. 4 weeks ago, it represented about 1% of all the sequenced cases. The following week, it increased to a little over 2%. As of last week, it represented a little more than 7% of cases in the U.S. nationwide, though certain parts of the country are being hit with this variant harder than others. Naturally, it is spreading most quickly in places like Texas Stan, Oklahoma Stan, Louisiana Stan, and in those places, it's about 20% of the cases that are sequenced in that region, according to Director Binneker. And it's more transmissible. Professor Guest said, our expectation is that this new variant, based on its doubling rate, we're anticipating that it is very transmissible. And that's the third highest level of transmissibility. The second highest level of transmissibility above very transmissible is, no, really transmissible. And the highest level of transmissibility is, holy shit, is this transmissible? And for this one, we have new symptoms. I saw a photograph of someone who had been infected with XBB.1.16 Arcturus. Sounds like an operating system, doesn't it? And the person who had it looked like they had been punched in one eye, in their left eye. Conjunctivitis, red, itchy eyes, some swelling, seems to come with this one. It could also be referred, some people might look at it and think it was pink eye. And it happens across the age spectrum from pediatric cases to geriatrics. And unfortunately, according to Professor Guest, some people are confusing it with spring allergies. It also comes with a higher fever. Director Binneker said we're also seeing higher grade fever. That is above 103 degrees Fahrenheit in adults. Patients should consult a doctor if it remains this high for greater than 24 hours. If you have this high of a fever, you may notice chills, sweating, and muscle aches. It's easy to become dehydrated, so stay hydrated with water and other fluid replacement drinks. And the high fever is one way to differentiate between spring allergies and, well, this. None of this, of course, matters a tinker's damn to marginal trailer queen, or for that matter, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So, Professor Guest says, hey, all that hand washing we've been doing, keep washing your hands. That's why I close the program every night. Saying, you know, wash your hands, don't touch your face. And if you have symptoms, take a COVID-19 test. And as much as it drives the maggots to distraction, masking is still a pretty darn good idea. So be safe out there, y'all. Emilio, God, why is it so hard to find out why and how Dr. Fauci created the coronavirus entirely in his globalist rectum while using trans pronouns? You know, that is frighteningly close to the reality. Meanwhile, Stephen New York says, subject line, Sporkfoot. First, the government did not fund gain-of-function research according to the definition. Fauci testified about this at a hearing a long time ago. Second, notice that all of the dates that Marge talked about are during the Orange Stains lecture or tenure. Third, I wish someone would ask her why it matters where it came from. Here are two facts. One, we know the government, Trump's government, knew there was a really bad Ugabruga virus as early as October 2019. Two, we know Trump, from the recordings with Bob Woodward, knew how awful COVID-19 was and that he intentionally downplayed it so as to not make people panic. In those same recordings, the pumpkin pissant, that's very good. Pumpkin pissant, said it was far more contagious than the flu and was probably airborne. Whether COVID-19 came from a lab, a wet market, or my ass means nothing. The Orange Stain knew it was around. He knew it was highly transmissible, knew it was likely airborne, and intentionally didn't say anything about it. Of course, if it had come from a lab, sticking a light bulb up our asses or ingesting bleach would have made it go away. Trump. You forgot about drinking the pint jars of pee-pee, Steve. And putting onions in your socks. And abrading your gums with wallaby antifungal. And, we have another challenge on the table. Our buddy Ken. Hey, Ken. Says, okay, 420 challenge. If four peeps give 20, I'll kick in 80. And also, I drive to New York to get my bud. Lucky me. 2-hour round trip. So, there's a challenge on the table. Matching challenge. We need four folks at $20. And that will yield another 80 from Ken, and that will put our fundraising, we're at 1658, and that would get us down to, $1,498. So that's a big deal. Thank you, Ken. I hope folks will take you up on it. And a reminder, you know, there's the PayPal button. And by the way, thank you to Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn. I went to the post office on Saturday. Tuesday. And thank you for jumping in. So that actually takes fundraising down from 1658 to 1633. And then if we can get the four people at $20, that'll take us down from 1533. 1473. That'll get us down to 1473. Thank you, Ken. Thank you. And thank you, Brandon and Fennell, so much. Oh, yeah, Steve in New York says, I almost forgot. If only we'd have each worn an onion on our belts, as was the fashion at the time. Thank you. Thank you, Grandpa Simpson. Coming up on the end of the first hour, let's check into the stack here. Oh, sure. Why not today in Florida? Remember Randy Fine? We talked about him a week or two ago. He's the guy that said if we have to erase a community, namely the LGBTQ community, if we had, then so be it. Well, Randy and his traditional one man and one woman merge wife, Wendy, well, they really do love the little children. And so Wendy hosts a fundraiser every year for an autism organization. And she's hosting it this year. It's happening this Saturday. The event is called Spring Forward for Autism. And on the nonprofit group's website, the event, organized by Wendy Fine, is referred to as an evening filled with sultry performances. Wendy Fine herself has participated, scantily clad, in this event. In fact, video from the one last year shows toddlers in attendance. And the fact of the matter is, the legislation proposed by Family Values, children-loving Randy Fine, well, that event would be illegal. Because it is an adult live performance defined in the state of Florida as any show, exhibition, or other presentation in front of a live audience which, in whole or in part, depicts or simulates nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, or specific sexual activities. I'm guessing the bumping and the grinding of a burlesque performance falls in there somewhere. One person said, so, rules for thee, not for me. So it was okay for Randy Fine's wife to participate in a sexually charged burlesque show with underage kids in attendance, but drag queen story hours, just too much. Sick of these goddamn hypocrites. NBC News reached out to Wendy, who said, I have to call my husband to see. And then whoever was doing the legwork on it heard Randy Fine on the other phone going, just hang up! Because it's for the children. And I do. I like to have some fun stories. We need giggles along the way here. And this, of course, features Mr. Crack Pillow. Yeah, Mike Lindell. Sometime back, at one of his voter fraud seminars, Mike Lindell, Mr. Crack Pillow, put up a challenge. In August 2021, he started braying about, braying the big lie about that the election was stolen from his orange god emperor. And so Lindell said, we're sharing some data with you at our cyber symposium here in South Dakota. And if anybody can prove the election, or if anybody can show that this data does not show that the election was rigged, I will give you $5 million. Well, one guy, and the funny thing is, he's a Trump supporter, took up Mr. Crack Pillow and his Prove Mike Wrong challenge. And all of this centered on China helping Biden steal the election. And the cybersecurity experts who looked at what Lindell put forward immediately labeled it as garbage. But Robert Zeidman didn't. Robert Zeidman is a 63-year-old maggot and a computer forensics expert from Nevada. He signed up for the contest, went over all the different files, said the data had nothing to do with 2020 at all, and then showed up at Lindell Management and said, pay me. And they said, nuh-uh. So the rules of the contest for which Zeidman was duly and fully accepted said that any disputes would be resolved by arbitration. Zeidman, no, he's a maggot, but he's not an idiot. At least not completely. He hired an arbitration firm. And the private arbitration panel yesterday ordered Mr. Crack Pillow to pony up the 5 million simoleons and wrote a 23-page ruling along the way. They said, based on the foregoing analysis, Mr. Zeidman performed under the contract. He proved the data Lindell LLC provided and represented reflected information from the November 2020 election, unequivocally did not reflect November 2020 election data. Failure to pay Mr. Zeidman the $5 million prize was a breach of the contract, entitling him to recover. Mr. Crack Pillow responded, what? Well, this is going to end up in court. The funny thing is, the agreement said no, it wasn't going to end up in court. It was going to be arbitrated, which they did, and he lost. He was deposed, Mr. Crack Pillow was, and in a video deposition, he said, I thought, well, if I put a $5 million challenge out there, then it would get news, which it did, so then you'd get some attention. Well, do you regret your little challenge? Absolutely not. I would make it more. Are you kidding me? It's all true. I put out the truth, and what these guys did was horrible. So lo and behold, come this August in Missouri, he's going to have the Election Crime Bureau Summit. And everything's going to be poured out there that validates the last 2 years, that validates every single thing that's going on with these machines. Somewhere along the way, Mr. Crackpillow is going to have to pony up. And I hope it hurts a lot. Thank you so much to Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Charlene, and Rogue's Island. Both jumping in on the 420 challenge, courtesy of Ken. So there's two more $20 contributions to go, and the 420 challenge is fulfilled, and we will be down to $1,473 for our fundraising goal. And that means this program, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, and $273 of Friday. We actually wiped out Wednesday and Thursday last night, last week. So thank you. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Charlene, an original founding member of the Society of Leans. So hopefully that'll happen fairly quickly. And, they're saying it was a complete and total success. But Leon Scum's starship blow up and go bang today. After the fact, the people at SpaceIC said,
No. We wanted to see it fail. Yeah, we definitely wanted it to blow into a million tiny pieces. A couple of minutes after it got off the launch pad. That was the plan all along. Definitely meant for that to happen.
And along the way, a new phrase has entered the annals of Orwellian newspeak. Instead of saying that their SpaceIC rocket, Leon Scum's pride and joy done blowed up. No. They said Starship experienced a... I just think this is adorable. Starship experienced a rapid unscheduled disassembly before stage separation. Blowed up. One of my pals on Twitter said, I would pay money if it had exploded and glitter had come out. I've watched the video several times, and I swear I think I see some pink and white and blue smoke, because the goddess of irony was busy on this one. Of course, maybe if Leon Scum was spending more time supervising his dick rocket project, instead of trying to make sure Twitter was a safe space for people to dead name and harass trans people, maybe his dick rocket wouldn't have blown up a couple of men. And I mean, it didn't just blow up. It blew the up. Tumbling in the air, pieces everywhere. As it experienced a rapid, unscheduled disassembly. I just have, as a practitioner of the art of word knowing, I just have this burning urge to parse that. Rapid, unscheduled disassembly. Where was the failure? Was it the rapid part, the unscheduled part, or the disassembly part? Because, see, what they wanted
was for the rocket. They wanted the rocket to burn all of its fuel off. The booster, that is. It would then separate from the starship. We built this city. Sorry. Oh, Gray Slick, sue him. Sue Leon Scum. So after the booster separated and fell into the Gulf of Mexico, Leon Scum's dick rocket was supposed to fire up its own engines and burn for 6 minutes to get up to speeds approaching those necessary to achieve orbit. None of that happened. But it was still a stunning success, according to SpaceIC. But the engineers at SpaceIC said, hey, we got it off the launch pad. Come on. Cut us some slack, for heaven's sakes. Do you know what it's like building rockets for Leon Scum? And this is the rocket that's supposed to take us back to the moon. What I fail to fully comprehend is what the hell was wrong with the Saturn V? Did we lose the plans? Because it worked real good. And interestingly, in the course of doing some reading about the failure today, I'm sorry, the rapid unplanned disassembly, apparently this massive multi-engine design, well, some of the engines just flat out failed. And curiously, it was a similar design that made Soviet space vehicles do similar things, and it's why they didn't get to the moon, and we did. We had better ex-Nazi rocket scientists than the Russians had. The rocket goes up, who cares where it comes down? It's not my concern, says Werner von Braun. Oldie but a goodie. Yeah, Emilio's there. Hey, Mom, I had a critical automobile failure and insurance incident scenario. You crashed the car, didn't you, son?
Yeah.
Tom in sunny San Rafael. Hey, Tom. SpaceX, government-funded rocketry. Tesla, government-funded car company. Leon Scum, government-funded phony libertarian. Ding, 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 ding. And Lee in New York points out, it's no longer a SpaceX rocket. It is now the X-Space rocket. I know, says Steve in New York. Let's model our new nuclear reactors on Chernobyl. Yeah. Leon, the Soviets didn't have much luck with this. Yeah, but, you know, we're better than the Soviets. Did I tell you how much I hate the trans people? Leon, focus. No, I am focused. I really hate them. Leon. And, They'll be doing this again soon. Another test. And we're operating on a plan to be back on the moon by the end of this decade. You know, round about maybe 2029 when
the scientists told us that we were going to pass the point of no return with climate change. Yeah, the three people in Oklahoma last night passed the point of no return with climate change. The universe ended for them. Shh, let's not talk about that. But if you were a NASA astronaut, would you get on top of anything that Leon Scum built? Or had a hand in building? I mean, how awful does one human being have to be to make you take a look at his rockets and then look over at Jeff Bezos' rockets and say, you know, Jeff Bezos is the better man here. So far, with I think a single exception, every attempt to test any of this has resulted in one or another of those rapid unscheduled disassemblies. I think it was John Glenn who was said to have remarked that it was a sobering thing to realize as he sat there atop the Gemini launch vehicle that everything in that entire rocket had been built by the lowest bidder. Well, whoever has to get on top of this nightmare is going to know that they're sitting on top of something that was built by a libertarian who wants to build a beach house on the moon, on Mars. And it makes me sad. Because I've remarked before, I was part of the space age generation. And the idea of going to space was hugely exciting and inspiring. But beginning way back in the Nixon administration, it seems like we just sort of gave up. Because at some point in time, Tricky Dick said,
well, Henry, the American people have just seemed to become bored with it.
And then there's Wernher von Braun. At one point in time, he remarked, in the Apollo program, we have calculated for 110 pounds of recreational equipment. He was talking about putting women in space. I don't care who you are, that is funny. Recreational equipment. I bet you Leon Scum just loves that little knee slapper, if he's ever heard it. Yeah. Hey, good to hear from you. I haven't heard from our buddy David in South Carolina in ages. Leon Scum's cars go boom, too. I hope they've got that problem sorted out, because our dear friend Matt in San Francisco is driving one now, and I don't want Matt's car go boom. So, good to hear from you. I kind of wondered where you were. Missed you. Now, Lee in New York says, I don't believe Musk is building the main rocket. NASA awarded SpaceX a $2.9 billion contract in 2021 to develop and build the Lunar Lander, which is a variation of the giant Starship rocket for Artemis 3. Maybe I'm dumb, but it sounds kind of six of one, half dozen of another. I don't know. Oh, and back to Mr. Crack Pillow. Christopher in Oregon says, really looking forward to the upcoming summer blockbuster. ####, Revenge of the Machines. Lindell meets Langdon, starring Meth Pillow Biting Man as supervillain not so strong and wrong as he dives deep into all the code and data and binaries and trinaries, proving that the monarch of Mar-a-Lardass is once and for all still our president. Co-stars Tom Hanks as Langdon, who wonders how he got where he is and why he's all wrapped up with this fucking nutcase Lindell. Well, one of the things that they want to do with this particular rocket is deploy Starlink, which sounds close enough to Skynet to make me fret a little bit. And Randy Radar asks, exactly how many monkey wrenches does it take for an unplanned rapid disassembly? I know. So we had our little chuckle. So now we're going to revisit something that's not at all humorous, and a case that becomes more disturbing with every passing day. Back in January, cops in Georgia attacked protesters, the purpose of whose protest was to try to stop the building of what is referred to down Atlanta Way as Cop City. And in point of fact, not unlike, say, Chicago 1968, that day in January became a cop riot. And during that cop riot, they shot a young protester. It was the first killing of an environmental protester on U.S. soil ever. The first police killing. Manuel Paez Terran. And the cops have been real sketchy, kind of hazy about why they felt like they needed to end the life of Manuel Paez Terran. And now, finally, in April, we have the autopsy report as prepared by the DeKalb County, Georgia, medical examiner. The newly released autopsy report says that, in fact, Manuel Paez Terran had 57 bullet wounds in his young body. And the cops justified his murder by saying, yeah, well, he shot at us first. There's only one problem. Firearms, by virtue of the way that gunpowder combusts, and anybody who's ever watched an episode of Columbo knows this, will leave powder marks, even if they're not visible to the naked eye, on the hands or arms of the person shooting the firearm. Now, the cops claim that Manuel Paez Terran shot at them first, and that caused them to unleash a hail of bullets, riddling his body with 57 rounds. There was no gunpowder residue on his body. The autopsy report shows that dozens of bullets entered Manuel Paez Terran's right eye, his chest, his stomach, his arms, his legs. And the autopsy report says any particular position at a specific point in time, if you try to put the deceased in any particular position at any point in time, is fraught with potential inaccuracies. The autopsy report goes on to say there are too many variables with respect to movement of the decedent and the shooters to draw definitive conclusions about the positioning of his body. And the report also notes the lack of any gunpowder residue on his hands. The young man's family had an independent autopsy done, and the independent autopsy said that by their indication, by their examination, the 26-year-old activist was most likely seated on the ground with his hands in the air. The DeKalb report went on to say that the bullet wound he got to his head was likely not the first wound. But they also said, the report also says, that none of the other gunshot wounds he received would, quote, would have caused him to become immediately unconscious or incapacitated. And naturally, the cops who blew him away, not one of them was wearing a body cam, at least according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. And the young man would have turned 27 this weekend. That thin blue line didn't seem, it seemed like a pretty thick blue barrage in this case. Hold on, Steve in New York says. You're not saying the Atlanta gang of uniformed thugs lied, are you? Well, I'm not saying they didn't. They got them a cop union and everything. So they didn't necessarily have to lie themselves. They had a union and a whole bunch of other cops to lie for them. And we are at the halfway point of the program, this Thorn in the Side Thursday. We are in a desperate search for $40 more, two more people at $20 apiece to match up with our 420 matching challenge, courtesy of Ken up in PA. Thank you, Ken. And that'll get us down to 1473. Is that what I said? Yeah, 1473. In terms of trying to keep up with funding, keep the lights on, the internet packets passing, the phone, the stress line phone on, and, you know, a roof over the studio, because it's hard to use all this electronic equipment when it rains. And didn't rain today. It was a beautiful day yesterday. Not a drop. Not going to rain tomorrow. Saturday, though, weekend, oh, it's going to pour. April showers bring May flowers. May flowers bring colonizing disease-bearing Europeans. And never mind. Don in West Tennistan, regarding Verna von Braun, said, my mom was an RN at George Washington Hospital in D.C. back in the day. He requested that she be his nurse on her shift. She said he was quite the gentleman until his final breath. He died of cancer. And the Civic Center in Huntsville, Alabama, is still named the Verna von Braun Civic Center. I went to a lot of concerts there as a youngster. I wonder what Dr. von Braun would have thought about this being 420 and all the clouds, I'm telling you. There were almost enough clouds to form an individual weather system. Clouds of cannabis smoke when the lights came up after ZZ Top or Kansas or Eddie Money or Loverboy or The Nuge. Let's see. And by the way, the lines are open. Stress lines open. 844-843-4676. 844-843-4676 if you're new to the program. Or if you've just listened all this time and never called in. We love new callers. For those who like to spell with their phone keypads, that's 844-THE-HORN, 844-THE-HORN. And the new Skype number, or Skype address, on Skype, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. If you haven't sent me a contact request there, please feel free to do so. And jump in. The conversation's fine. I wanted to make sure we got to this evening, the ongoing saga of the outright crookedness of the oldest member of the Supreme Court of the United States. I am talking, of course, about Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Faffy Thomas, who saw ethical concerns in accepting God alone knows how much money's worth of free vacations, including one that was $500,000 to buy a private jet to Indonesia and then a little cruise on a 162-foot super yacht throughout the Indonesian archipelago. No problems. Because, among other things, Fappy has said that his dear, dear family friend, Harlan Crow, real estate magnate, son of one of the biggest landowners in the United States, Trammell Crow, back when I was an intrepid young journalist at CNN, I had a dear friend who actually worked for Trammell Crow as bougie little yuppie apartment complexes cropped up all over suburban Atlanta. But there's only one problem. Fappy says there was no problem because he and Harlan Crow never talk shop. And Harlan Crow has never had any business before the court in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Fappy is, of course, this is a complicated legal term, a liar. Because, in fact, no, Harlan Crow's name was not explicitly on the docket, but Harlan Crow is a, or was at the time, a member of the Founders Committee of that right-wing cesspit called the Club for Growth. And the Club for Growth filed no small number of amicus curiae briefs before the court, and lo and behold, Harlan Crow, back in 2004, gave $275,000 to the Club for Growth. 2 years later, in 2006, he gave another $150,000 to the Club for Growth. And in 2003, the Club for Growth filed an amicus brief in the case attacking the McCain-Feingold Campaign Finance Reform Act. The previous year, it passed with bipartisan support in both houses and was signed into law. It spawned a number of lawsuits. Those lawsuits were filed by wealthy assholes like and their front groups, because they never do anything in their own names. They form a political action committee to do that kind of dirty work. And so all the cases got consolidated into McConnell versus FEC, Federal Election Commission. The Supreme Court of the United States took up the case for decision. And lo and behold, FAPI wrote a seething, scathing, blistering 25-page dissent that, for all intents and purposes, could have been lifted from the Club for Growth's brief. Among other things, FAPI said that the justices voting to uphold McCain-Feingold were upholding, quote, what can only be described as the most significant abridgment of the freedoms of speech and association since the Civil War. And the thing is, by the time he filed that dissent, he and Harlan Crow were already the bestest of dearest BFFs. Of course, Harlan Crow didn't have any idea who the hell Fappy Thomas was until George H.W. Bush nominated him to the Supreme Court of the United States. But goodness gracious sakes alive, they sure did become good friends after that. Oh, yes. Pals, bosom buddies, cigar chomping buddies, along with Leonard Leo. And this would be a good time to take note of the fact that the standard of conduct for a Supreme Court justice and any other judge, for the most part, is that they must avoid even the appearance of impropriety. We talked about this a few nights ago. It's the Caesar's wife rule. Caesar's wife must be above reproach. So not only is it don't break the law and don't do, you know, don't do dirty, corrupt stuff, it's don't even look like you could be possibly accused of it. Well, this is impropriety and the appearance of impropriety and violations of statutes all rolled together. And nobody can make Fappy step down. We've also discussed the fact that even if he were to be indicted and charged with crimes for his failure to disclose all of this largesse from his dear, dear, dear friend, it's conceivable he could refuse to abdicate his seat and sit in judgment of his own case when it made it to the Supreme Court of the United States. He's so crooked, they will have to screw him into the dirt when he dies. Which leads, in turn, to the fact that Chief Justice John Roberts, old balls and strikes, announced that he has sent a bit of correspondence to old balls and strikes, Dick Durbin has. In his letter to old balls and strikes, he said, "The time has come for a new public conversation on ways to restore confidence in the court's ethical standards. I invite you to join it, and I look forward to your response." Well, so far, old balls and strikes has remained as silent as a graven image. He was called upon to investigate Fappy internally. Didn't respond to that either. The letter was specific. He said, "I invite you to show up, or, you know, you can choose another justice to come and testify instead. But we're going to hold a committee hearing on May the 2nd. And the only thing we're going to talk about is the ethics rules governing justices of the Supreme Court and potential changes to those rules." Durbin continued and said, "The opportunity for the American people to hear from justices in this setting presents a moment that could strengthen faith in our public institutions." Watch this space, but don't watch it for much. Impeachment of a sitting Supreme Court justice is strictly in the purview of the House of Representatives. They are not going to do that. And as a consequence, the only recourse we have is public protest and pressure. And the not particularly inspiring hope that maybe Merrick Garland will ask Jack Smith to have a look at Fappy's long history of lawbreaking. And then maybe have a little set to with the grand jury about it. Thank you to our pal Texas T. Thank you so much. We now have only $30 to go on Ken's 420 challenge. So two folks at $15 or one at 30 or three at 10. And we'll be down to 1473 in terms of trying to keep this little independent broadcast operation going. Thanks, Texas T. Thanks a bunch. Appreciate it. Oh, let's run over to the stress line, see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Hey, Ken. Yeah, hey.
Yeah, I'll meet the. There was a prior challenge, so I couldn't listen earlier. But so I'll meet the first 20. So we got one more combination of $20, and I'll meet that.
Okay. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully, folks will jump in.
I know. I really want you to be on the air because. Oh fuck! I can't.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. We're back to that. Yeah, we're back to that enlightened self-interest again.
Yeah, enlightened or radical or
radical self-interest.
Whatever you want to call it,
yes.
I don't care.
Well, the fact of the matter is, the bills right now are right at the most critical of the bills.
I know.
They're like $1,500, and then I got to do the car, the bearings, the tires, the.
You know, I wish you could do more. I really do.
I know you do a lot, and I appreciate it, Ken. I really do.
I know you do. So I don't really want to say much about that, but I think John Roberts has been neutered.
Oh, the de facto Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is Fappy Thomas, because of the way their protocols
exactly.
Work.
Yeah, well, that's right. The protocols of the Elders of Zion, right? The frickin' Nazis, they're running the goddamn country because by God of herself, I declare that there's laws, and gee, I don't know. It's not in the Constitution, but I'm so confused, Rob. They're supposed to follow the Constitution, right?
Yeah, but they also get to interpret it.
Yeah. Well, I know. Well, shit. I can interpret it the way I want to. I want socialism. I want health care for all. I want equality and equal pay for women. I want all of that. But no, it's Harlan Crow, because God help us if black people get welfare or Medicaid or whatever. It's all about the racism. Like, oh my God.
Oh, I mean, any of those references, you can always tell when a Republican, when a right winger is dog whistling, because the fact remains that far more welfare benefits go to white people, poor white folks.
It's not even dog whistling anymore. It's a
bullhorn.
Referee's whistle.
It's a bullhorn.
Yeah, a bullhorn. Well, foul on the play. You fuckers are like disabling players on the field. We're pawns in their stupid little fucking game. I sound like Scary Jerry now, don't I? I love him, and I love this family, and people, please contribute. I can't stand not having this on the air. It's surprising I even called in the first place. I was so nervous. But now I feel a bit better. And, oh, yeah, I'm like 3 months behind on the podcast, but somebody wrote in, and a caller sounded drunk. And, yeah, I'm kind of drunk now, and I'm high. So,
it's cool.
I don't be a dick, but about it, fuck you.
I don't think it was you.
Please
they were.
Support the program.
I don't think they were talking about you, Ken.
No, it wasn't about me.
I know who they were talking about, and yeah.
Yeah. No, he has a different way of expressing himself, and whatever you stutter, you have a stutter. My best friend has a stutter. It only comes out when he gets too drunk. And he can control that. That's amazing. I don't really stutter. I mumble more than
In my case, I don't think it's a stutter. I think it's more of a case of me getting my
Oh, you get caught up of thinking about what you're
tongue wrapped around my uvula or something.
No, I think you get I think your brain gets in the way. Because obviously that's where it comes from.
Ad libbing all of this 3 hours a night.
That was amazing, Robin. You're amazing. I love you. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
I know.
It's the only way I can do it. It would be awful to open this microphone and just read to people for 3 hours. Ugh!
I can't imagine. No. Nobody would listen to that. I wouldn't listen to those people reading. I've listened to other shows and, somebody reading something. No, it's horrible.
And my poor little brain outruns my mouth about 90% of the time.
Right.
As it is.
Right. Well, and then your mouth sometimes gets in front of it, and you gotta suck your toes.
Let's don't talk about that.
It's gross.
Ow. It's bad enough I said. It's bad enough I said uvula on the air, for God's sakes.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that is, but
that's the little hangy down thing in the back of your throat.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, all right. I get it. Yeah, I can't sing, so I won't try. I won't subject everybody to that whatever nonsense.
And
you're not too bad.
The uvula is often missed because it's not a very well-known body part. It's often assumed to be somewhere else. And I remember once, I forget exactly who it was, but when stop that, it don't help. So this was years ago, and my mother was talking about the fact that when she was a little girl and they took her tonsils out, they took that out too.
Right.
I don't know why. She was sickly as a child, just like I was. But they took that out too, and she said, yeah, and they got my uvula, and whoever it was looked at my mother and said, they can get to there through your throat? I'm like, no.
Oh, shit.
Oh, but your challenge has been finished off. Frank in Minnesota jumped in.
Great.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
And so we are now down officially to 1473, which is amazing. We're from $1,700, so we've knocked off one day's funding from, last week.
All right. I have a question for you.
Okay. I'll do my best.
I listen to Sam Cedar daily.
From time to time, yes.
And I do. And they try to promote other programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to call them and suggest that if they have you on again, Emma's great. They're really great on trans issues. Everything. You love and respect Sam, and I do. But I wanted to ask you if I'm going to call them.
I know Sam. We've done.
Sam
and I have done a bunch of Radio Rows in the same space. DC, NetRoots Nation, stuff like that.
He's got a bigger platform. I want you to get more subscribers. But I thought I should ask you first if I'm going to beg for support. Not begging, but look, they've been pretty open about having other people that really have brilliant people on. And it's different from your show.
Yeah, this program is decidedly different from. Yeah, you feel free, and share the podcast on your social media and all of that stuff. I mean, I want people who want to participate in the conversation to be able to. And
for sure, but you know, the thing is, you know, I feel kind of dirty, but I want people to support this program, your program. That's the bottom line. So I guess, you know, I have your permission, but
yeah, we don't have a PR department, so.
Yeah, you don't.
The PR the PR department is ad hoc too.
I'm glad you got your horn, or you can have your finally got your what the hell was it? Your name changed.
Oh, on the
not
Skype.
Your dead name. Yeah. What happened with the intro with Lady B?
Well, I haven't heard from Lady B in a very long time. I haven't heard from her in a long time.
Yeah.
The music bed needs work. Lady B goes radio silence every now and then, and I just assume that when she wants to engage in dialogue, she'll reach back out.
It just kind of still makes me cringe a bit, and I'm sure it really makes you, well, not balls anymore, but.
Really?
Yeah, no, we don't do that. But I got to carry this place into the gutter because that's where I live. I live in the sewer. I'm not upset about it.
No. I mean, my former reality is what it was. Glad it isn't anymore.
It's so fascinating. It's so fascinating. Wow. You don't have Netflix, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
If you have Netflix, I have a viewing tip.
Yes.
Like Scott would say.
Yeah.
It's called The OA. And you gotta have a really open mind about it. It's.
DOA? As in dead on arrival?
OA.
Let's try that again. I think I was talking over you.
TADVOA. Or there isn't even a the. It's called OA.
The OA or OA. Oscar OA. Oscar Alpha.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not what it stands for. But it's quite weird. Am I giving it away? I don't think some of it.
Yeah, no spoilers.
It's mind bending. Let's put it that way. It's a possibility, you know, isn't for everybody. But it was really interesting. Maybe a different kind of religion is the part of it. I want to describe it, make people want to watch it, but I don't give shit. I don't know.
Well, there'll be, if you look it up on Netflix, there'll be some kind of description of it. I would look it up now, but the iPad has decided it badly wanted to take an update, so if you're trying to reach via Skype, that's why it's not going through.
Oh, no, updates. Oh, the endless fucking updates. Are you kidding? I know. None of my computers have that now with Windows 11 or 11 point, fuck you. Just updates. I don't want to update every goddamn fucking day. Like, stop it. Like, if it wasn't good enough, why did you put it out? yikes. So what else is going on?
It's a beautiful evening. Apparently Ferg is done mowing the lawn. That didn't take too terribly long.
Oh, It is. It is a beautiful evening here, too. Nice spring sounds. Hear the birds. Get the, been able to have coffee on the picnic table outside. It's beautiful here. I'm so lucky, Robin.
I feel that way when it's pretty here, too. We've had two straight weeks of gorgeous spring weather and two straight weekends of pouring down rain.
Right. Well, temperate rainforest. So we're not that far removed, so it's pretty wet here, usually. So.
And Saturday, like I said, it's going to pour.
With global warming, the temperatures have been better. So.
Oh, it's just been gorgeous. I mean, it's 76 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the Magnificent Kincaid Mansion right now, so it's fairly comfortable. And
I'm
Saturday,
not too far from Lake. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say Saturday is Annette's birthday, and going to try to do something special for her.
Happy birthday,
and
dear.
It's going to rain. She walked in here before airtime. I said, "Have you seen the weather for Saturday?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I told you." I know.
Did
I don't
you get her a magic helmet?
Spear and magic helmet?
A magic helmet. Yeah. Kill the women.
Oh, Brunhilde, you're so lovely. Yes, I know it. I can't help
there
it.
You go. I love it.
It lives in my brain. You know, I was talking about the...
Yeah,
I was talking about the COVID variant, the Arcturus...
Yeah.
XBB.1.16, whatever. And Brother Deacon Asa just told me, yeah, that was the variant that I had. And he said, in mid-March, he said, it kicked my ass. The remnants are still with me. It's a pig. And it did the eye thing to Brother Deacon Asa.
Oh, no.
It's a weird virus because, you know, first it was taste and smell, then it was, and now it's pink eye?
Yeah. That creepy thing, I can't learn. It's not cognizant, but it's just a tiny little, it looks like a sperm, and this thing can completely fuck your life over and kill you. Or as far as that thing is concerned, it doesn't want to kill you, but it wants you to be a host. It is mind-bending. I don't understand it. Even our friend from Paul from Parts Unknown.
Yeah.
Said one of the most interesting classes I've ever had was genetics. I want to go with that. Actually, one of the things that I wrote a paper on was what was called then pseudohermaphroditism. So, yeah, people born with both sets of genitalia.
Yeah, what used to be called hermaphrodism is now called intersex.
Intersex. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you educated me on that.
And it is particularly interesting that in all these states they're saying, no, we can't have no transgender surgeries on the precious children's. They specifically make exceptions in these bills for parents to change their children's genitals without the children's consent.
I hate those people. God damn it. I hate those fucking people, and I really don't want to hate those people, but oh my god, that's so gross. And half of it's fake. It's fundraising. Half of those people in Congress don't believe it. The faithful do. But then again, I don't know. There's a crypto-fascists that really want to take over this country because capitalism doesn't work with democracy.
Well, in the long run, capitalism just doesn't work because it posits its foundation is that one may consume. You can have infinite consumption of infinite resources on a planet on a closed loop planet.
That's right.
Maybe that's why Leon Scum wants to build a beach house on Mars so that he can bring libertarian capitalism to the Martians.
Leon Scum, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. That's fucking hilarious. Leon Scum, did you come up with that?
I saw it somewhere. It's just an anagram for Elon Musk.
Yeah, right. It's an anagram, but that's hilarious. That's perfect. He is scum. He's scum. Kick him out of the country. Get out of my country. Remember that phrase? Get out of my country?
Mm-hmm.
Well, get the fuck out.
Mark, you and love it Rupert, or leave it.
You go. Yeah. Love it or leave it. Leave it, motherfucker. I'm sick of these fucking assholes. Oh my God. This is my country. I want a better fucking country. I don't want to live in your fucking.
Look, in the case of. In the case of Leon Scum, I think we're in real time watching him melt down.
Oh yeah,
he's going by the time he reaches wherever he's going, he's going to make the final years of Howard Hughes look like a case study in rock solid sanity.
Remind me about Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes became a recluse. He wouldn't leave his room. He thought everybody was after him, and had jars of his own urine sitting all over the place. It was gross.
Yeah.
Leon's headed that way. And as Brother Deacon Asa points out, in the case of Leon Scum, it's actually okay to tell him to go back to Africa. That's a cowbell.
Oh, where's my cowbell?
He just got it.
I would have bring my cowbell. I got several. I'm a percussionist. Don't forget.
That's true. You can divide an individual minute into 132 separate beats.
Yes, exactly. 132.
I always love that definition of a drummer. A guy who can divide a minute into 132 beats but can't make a 3 o'clock call.
Yeah, or well, I guess we're not all that great. You're a germaphobe.
Oh, no, I'm just
kidding. I really wanted to say my dad died on the 15th of April, 19 years ago.
Oh, my.
And that sounds a lot like what my dad would say. Junior Steward, I count my neighbors not to be racist around us. The only black people I knew, they knew, moved next door. And he told me the guy couldn't read, but he had his own excavation panel. And so, like, they would never talk about it. And after my dad died, all the other neighbors felt comfortable talking about being, you know, being fucking racist. I was so curious. They're all, like, pro-union. Like, it was pretty pro-union. And all this comes together when you said the mine workers excluded black people from the units. I think there was not just the mine workers. I think there was a concerted effort to get black people out of unions, period, so we could subjugate them more. You know, it's really profound, Robin, because, you know, I'm kind of always kind of naive that I didn't think that stuff existed. But now it really rings true. I can see all the racism. I can see. It all comes together. All this, all the politics, everything kind of falls together in this right-wing, vast right-wing conspiracy. You are talking about Harlan Crow. Again, they're funding this vast right-wing conspiracy. It's right-wing, it's racist, it's misogynist, and you're a scapegoat for a political gain. And I'm profoundly upset by where this country has gone.
I understand. I do.
I know you do. Because I don't feel it. I don't feel that hatred that you get as a trans woman. Or, like, being black. I'm a white guy. I realize my white privilege. I'm a white guy. And people want to hate me. They think it's okay. Like, can bring it up. But actually, shit, when I started in Tool and Die, there was, you know, a couple guys, like Rush Limbaugh fans. Like, when that started, when, you know, Rush Limbaugh got his life, so to speak, you know, and you go, oh, listen to this guy. And I did. And it was hateful. It was hateful. And, you know, I thought that then, like, and he's like, I'm a Christian. And I didn't have to be politically aware to know that, you know, that's fucking wrong. That's un-American. Isn't it? It's un-American. And I didn't really bring this program down, you know, I don't want to laugh, but that's really disturbing, Robin.
Yeah, it is, and it goes on and on and on, and it is exhausting. Some evenings it's kind of a relief when I can just hot up the mic and talk about anything but. Unfortunately,
yeah, really.
the evenings when I can talk about anything but Ken are the evenings when I have a mass slaughter
never
to describe, or a disgustingly corrupt Supreme Court justice.
Yes. And they didn't say the wrestling mark. I mean, you know, Scalia was on his trip when he got killed, right? Who killed him?
JFK
killed him, I swear.
Stop that.
I swear on my mother's honor, JFK killed Justice Scalia. He came back from the dead and killed him. Disprove it.
And there I was thinking it was that entire pan of tiramisu that he had for dessert that night.
Oh, like pudding with his fingers.
Well, Ken, you have yourself a wonderful evening, my friend. Thank you for the challenge, and thanks to everybody who responded to it.
Oh, thank you, everybody who responded to it. Please support this program. I do love you all so much, and hopefully I will talk to you soon, and as soon as I hang up, it will forward that money virtual.
I appreciate it, Ken. Thank you so much. You take care of yourself. Enjoy the lovely spring weather.
You take care, too.
Hi.
I will. You too. Bye.
Our buddy Ken up in the far reaches of Pennsylvania. The iPad is rebooted. If you would like to engage in conversation via Skype, you are more than welcome so to do. Stress lines open, 844-THE-HORN, 844-843-4676. Again, a reminder, if you want to call in on the Skype line, send me a contact request to that new Skype address, Robin, R-O-B-Y-N, Kincaid Horn, K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. I'll okay it, and away we'll go. Okay? Thanks. And a reminder, hey, if you're listening to the podcast and you've made it this far, please like and subscribe and share. And as I seldom mention, and leave a comment, of course, but the sharing's a big deal, too. When you, using your own word of mouth and your own credibility, say, hey, she's got something awesome going on over here. Give her a try. And mash that heart button at TuneIn Radio. And eventually we will get to those 1,000 unique listeners. Oh, thank you, Tamara. I did not realize. Well, actually, I think I had an inkling of it. Manuel Paez Terán, the kid that the cops pumped full of lead, who did not fire a shot at them. Tamara informs me, my understanding is that Terán identified as non-binary and used they-them pronouns and identified with the indigenous community. Thanks for that. Thanks for letting me know. The least we can do is honor them in death, given that they went to peacefully protest a manifest injustice in Atlanta and laid down their life for the life and peace and sake of others. Thank you. Thank you, Tamara. That matters. And a follow-up to the story out of Montanistan that we had in yesterday's program. Zoe Zephyr, the first and only transgender member of the Montana legislature, she and her Democratic colleagues are surrounded by maggot hatred and bigotry and despicable behavior. A few days ago, she told them as they were contemplating another piece of vulgar, bigoted, hateful, bloodthirsty anti-trans legislation that will result in litigation. Zoe Zephyr said, next time we have an invocation, when you bow your heads, I hope you can see the blood on your hands. And Lord God, Billy Bob, did the maggots, those tender, precious, dainty little snowflakes that they are, God, did they get butthurt. They demanded she be censured. And not only did the Montana Thedum Carcass issue a written demand that she be censured, they misgendered her deliberately along the way. That's the functional equivalent of the Tennessee legislature and the and what's his name, Cameron, what's his fuck, the Tennessee House Speaker, it would have been the same if he would have referred to the Tennessee 2 as, you know, that word. It's just deeply ugly and hateful to deliberately misgender a trans person. So in the debate on the bill today in Helena, the maggot Speaker of the House refused to allow Zoe Zephyr to speak, refused to allow Zoe Zephyr to give voice to the constituency that sent her there to speak on their behalf. MAGOT Speaker Matt Regier, R-E-G-I-E-R, said, "It is up to me to maintain decorum here on the House floor to protect the dignity and integrity, and any representative that I don't feel can do that will not be recognized." Basically, he went on to say that he reached his decision after engaging in a conspiracy with other maggots. It remains true that these maggots will have blood on their hands. Previously in the debate, Zoe Zephyr spoke directly to the trans community in Montana. It's back in February. They were back then having a shit hemorrhage and passing a bill to prevent minors from attending drag shows. And Zoe Zephyr said, "I have one request for you. Please stay alive. And we will continue to fight for you, and we will challenge these bills in court." The maggot legislature of Montana has also passed a bill that says it's not illegal discrimination to dead name a fellow student. And then they dead named Zoe Zephyr. Even though her name is changed to Zoe Zephyr, even though the state of Montana recognizes her as a woman on official documents, even though the United States government recognizes her as a woman on official documents, well, the maggots don't care that much about the rule of law. Unless it's a rule of law that they want to use as a cudgel against someone. Democratic Representative Marilyn Marler addressed the House and said, "This body is denying the representative the chance to do her job." Majority Leader Vinton, maggot, responded, "I will let the body know what that the representative has every opportunity to rectify the situation," busting ass to make sure that they use no pronouns to describe Representative Zephyr, because even that much common decency, just simple common decency, is beyond the ability of your average garden variety maggot. But Zoe Zephyr is not going to go away. And in a statement yesterday, she said, "It is disheartening that the Montana Freedom Caucus would stoop so low as to misgender me in their letter, further demonstrating their disregard for the dignity and humanity of transgender individuals. Their call for civility and respect is hypocritical given their actions." She described the devastating consequences of banning essential medical care for transgender youth. "The gender-affirming care ban is part of an alarming trend of anti-trans legislation in our state, which includes over a dozen unconstitutional bills. These bills ban our art forms, our stories, our health care, and our very existence in Montana code. And that is exactly the point, because they are the maggot party, and the cruelty is the point. I hope she only grows in strength. There's, and thank you, Ralph, for sending this along. There's a newly released recording of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. It's a matter of Rafaelito upbraiding Maria Bartiromo regarding the 2020 election. This is priceless.
A phone call between a Fox anchor and Republican Senator Ted Cruz, and this is from that key tense period in November 2020. And as part of our reporting, we can tell you the source tonight. This is from a former Fox producer who's turned whistleblower who came up in the same related case about Fox alleged lies, Abby Grossberg. Now, in this recorded call, Senator Cruz discusses how facts would be needed to prove Trump's election fraud claims in court.
It can't just be, you know, somebody tweeted this. It's got to be demonstrable facts that can be laid out with evidence, because that's what a court of law is going to look to, not just an allegation, but actual facts. And so, I'm hopeful, I hope when Rudy comes on the show tomorrow, he has some of those facts, and I hope the legal team continues to lay out the specific evidence, because that's what it's going to take to prevail in court.
Fact check. True.
Oops. That's Ari Melber at MSNBC. But make no mistake, Rafaelito wanted Rudy's allegations to be true. Because Rafaelito himself was up to his eyeballs in treasonous behavior. On the floor of Congress, he said, "Let me be clear. I'm not arguing for setting aside the result of this election. All of us are faced with two choices, both of which are lousy. One choice is vote against the objection, and tens of millions of Americans will see a vote against the objection as a statement that voter fraud doesn't matter, isn't real, and shouldn't be taken seriously." Because the voter fraud didn't matter, because it wasn't real and shouldn't have been taken seriously. And a great many of us don't believe that. He would not in that case, however, speak directly for himself, because, of course, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, is a coward and apparently is only good at bullying his adolescent daughter into attempting suicide. On the other hand, most, if not all of us, believe we should not set aside the results of an election just because our candidate may not have prevailed. And so I endeavored to look for door number three, a third option, and for that I looked to history, to the precedent of the 1876 election, the Hayes-Tilden election, where this Congress appointed an electoral commission to examine claims of voter fraud. Five House members, five senators, five Supreme Court justices, and examined the evidence and rendered a judge judgment. Whatever a judge judgment is. He is a craven POS, isn't he? Meanwhile, back to hashtag Bud Light Butthurt. Because maggots is super geniuses. It was 3 days ago, the 17th of April, about 9 o'clock, at a Wally World on Wanamaker Road in Kansas, Topeka. Dustin D. Kane, a 44-year-old Kansan, was in Wally World throwing things at people. Again, because dainty and delicate. In particular, this maggot was going absolutely beer nanas in the beer aisle, destroying beer. And being a maggot, he's not even destroying the Bud Light, he's destroying the Busch beer.
Oh, shit!
Then he starts throwing cans at the people videoing him.
Oh, that's why he's destroying the Busch Light. He's destroying the Busch Light, dude.
Why?
Yeah, why? Well, because he's a maggot and he's all butthurt. Yeah, eventually the police do show up.
Get his ass!
Get his ass! So the friendly police arrest him and handcuff him and escort him from Walmart.
Good job. They're quite the crowd.
He made a big old mess.
He's in debt for life.
He's in debt for life. Now, don't fuck with Walmart's beer aisle. Well, it got worse. Because, you know, maggots. J. Dustin D. Kane was destroying cases of Busch Light beer. I love how the report says, though a motive hasn't been released, Sherlock Holmes is on the case. So, ultimately, however, it wasn't just that he was destroying the beer. He was charged with criminal destruction of property, felony battery, and this didn't happen on the video, so I don't quite know how it fits. It's probably the wrong term. Exposing sex organs to another over 16. How about that? So, groomer! And the whole Bud Light Butthurt thing has gotten so bad that that Trader Tot, Nitwit Jr., told the maggots to back off because Anheuser-Busch is a loyal donor to the Republican Party. The maggots weren't having any of that either. Trader Tot went on to say,
thanks to Dylan Mulvaney, we can finally admit that Bud Light tastes like water. But with our new koozies...
Because it's always a grift.
With our new koozies, you can make sure no one confuses Bud Light with real beer ever again.
MAGA koozies. And then Matt Walsh, who, by the way, remember from yesterday's program, got the living shit hacked out of him. Matt Walsh attacked and said,
GOP establishment circling the wagons around Anheuser-Busch. These people don't have any interest in pushing back against corporate wokeism or transgenderism. In fact, they want to help normalize both. This is grassroots conservatism versus the establishment, as always.
And the minute he started saying back off, some maggot commentator named Dr. Carol M. Swain, gotta wonder what kind of Dr. Carol is, they said, I hope his listeners are not listening and have minds of their own. Hope his listeners are not listening. And over at Newsweek, which has become a maggot cesspit, the opinion editor, Josh Hammer, said, we have them on the ropes right now, and then this? Another asshole named Ian Miles Chong said, Bud Light didn't need to put out its non-apology, and people would have forgotten about it and continued to drink the brand. But they did, and conservatives like Trump Jr. accepted the non-apology, so their stock price went up. Rule of thumb, go woke, get rich. It's so much fun when they turn cannibal over on that side. And with the murder in Dadeville, Alabama, the cops have been out talking about how they've arrested five people now for the attack on the Sweet 16 party. But the cops have been talking about how if you kill somebody in Alabama, you will go to jail. Well, next door in Georgia, we have the account of LaShawn Thompson, who was incarcerated in the Fulton County Jail. For 3 months. Thompson was arrested on a misdemeanor battery charge in June of 2022. He was taken to the Fulton County Jail and placed in the psychiatric wing after officials determined he had mental issues, and the psychiatric wing, as his family's lawyer described it, was not fit for a diseased animal. Because LaShawn Thompson who had misdemeanor battery charges against him. That's it. Was kept incarcerated and was eventually eaten alive by insects and bedbugs. He was eventually just found dead in the jail cell. LaShawn Thompson's family obtained records that stated detention officers and medical staff noticed his health deteriorating, but did nothing to administer aid to him or help him. A detention officer reportedly refused to administer CPR because she freaked out when finding his body had been repeatedly and thoroughly bitten by bugs and insects. Eaten alive by bed bugs. Good God. Murka, Georgia. And when they're not, when people aren't just being randomly shot for pulling into a driveway or knocking on a door or playing basketball, well, this out of Colorado. Police there are investigating a spate of rocks and other items being thrown at vehicles. A 20-year-old woman was killed when a rock hit her car. The large rock smashed through her windshield and into her, causing her to then crash. That was in Jefferson County, Colorado. The same area has seen several instances of people throwing rocks at cars. The incidents happened late Wednesday night into early Thursday. This place, this country, is coming apart at the seams. And I don't know I don't know how we fix that. I don't know how we even begin. In some cases, however, vigorous prosecution is part of the process. Malachi Robinson, back in July 2022 in Missouri, confessed to shooting a 16-year-old kid something like 8 times with a 9mm pistol, trying to kill him because of his sexual orientation. He's been sentenced to 22 years in prison for that, for violating the James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, which prosecuted the case because, of course, the Attorney General of the state of Missouri damn sure wouldn't. This defendant's sentence holds him accountable for the violent and callous hate crime perpetrated against a defenseless teenager targeted because of their LGBTQ plus status. Recent FBI data makes clear that hate crimes targeting the LGBTQ plus community persist, and this sentence should send a strong message to the perpetrators of these crimes that they will be held accountable. Bias-motivated misconduct has no place in our country. It's found lots of places. the defendant, Malachi Robinson, met the juvenile at the Kansas City Public Library. And then they started talking online and then decided to meet back up at the library. This is so disgusting. The kid thought that he and the guy were gonna have sex. And Robinson talked him into going into a wooded area for an encounter. All the same, at the entire time that he was doing this, he was texting his girlfriend that I might shoot him because he's gay. And the boy changed his mind and started to walk away. And Robinson blasted him 8 times before he fled, and then began bragging to his friends about what he had done. Malachi Robinson was, of course, you know what's coming next, a lawful gun owner. And his pistol was lawfully obtained. And he will spend 262 months in federal prison without parole. See, if he'd been tried in the state of Missouri, he very likely would have been able to mount the gay panic defense. I just became temporarily deranged because I found out he was gay. And the state of Missouri would say, cool. Just like that 84-year-old coot in Kansas City is going to say that he had to shoot Ralph Yarles because he was standing his ground. Make no mistake, those two things are similar. Those two defenses are similar. And they are both there because lawmakers in that state think that it is important for people to be able to shoot whoever the fuck they want to shoot. It was an ambush the whole time. And 22 years for a 22-year-old man doesn't seem nearly long enough. And there's no rehabilitative justice that's going to solve the problem that Malachi Robinson has. And of course, Malachi Robinson may have been closeted as all hell. That's not unusual. And he had easy access to a firearm. Because freedom. And the speaking of Ralph Yarles, the story just keeps getting more awful. One of the old coot's neighbors called 911. The old coot had shot through the glass of his screen door the first time, then stepped through the door and shot him again. one of the people who refused to open the door to Ralph Jarls was a woman named Jody Ray. She couldn't see who had rung her doorbell, she said, but she heard the noise outside and she called 911. The 911 dispatcher told Jody Ray that there was an active shooter in her neighborhood and not to open her door. TMZ got hold of Jody Ray, and when she talked about it, she began to cry. She opened the door, saw pools of blood, recognized that the boy was who had been shot. She called for her son to bring towels so that he could put pressure on his head and try to keep the bleeding to as much of a minimum as humanly possible. The other neighbor held his hand and talked to him about school to keep his mind off of his fear and his pain. Ralph Jarl said, "I just went over there and rang the doorbell and the guy shot me in the head. It hurts." He started to want to cry again, and I said, "Look at me. You're going to be okay." And she didn't know the old coot who had shot him. Jody Ray said that she'd been in the neighborhood for a year. And she said, "There's been so much hate directed at us as neighbors. We had horrible signs put up in the neighborhood yesterday. And there are kids growing up here of all races." But she said, "People think that we didn't want to help him, but we were told not to by 911, and once we knew what was going on, we did. We helped." And then there's the old coots grandson. Our buddy John in Central PA sent this along to me. "Looks like your rank speculation was correct. Fox is killing us." From KansasCity.com. Headline, "Fear and Paranoia, Grandson Says Andrew Lester Bought into Conspiracies and Disinformation." His grandson said he was appalled and disgusted at what his grandfather did, and he's grateful that Ralph Jarl is recovering. He said, I was horrified. I thought it was terrible," Clint Ludwig said of his immediate reaction. "It was inexcusable. It was wrong. I stand with Ralph, and I really want his family to achieve justice for what happened to them. Their child or grandchild or nephew's life was fundamentally changed forever over a mistake and someone being scared and fearful." 28-year-old Mr. Ludwig said, "I feel terribly for him. And I'm really glad that he's doing okay and he's going to live. I know his life has changed forever, and I'm really sorry." Talking to his grandfather, he said, "The only reason why he's receiving charges now and an investigation is being held was because of community outreach to bring attention to this. The response has been great. It's been amazing to see this solidarity and coming together as a community." Clint Ludwig said he used to be really close to his grandfather. But then he went on and said, "But in the last 5 or 6 years or so, I feel like we've lost touch. I've gotten older and gained my own political views, and he's become staunchly..." Here we go. Strap in. "He's become staunchly right-wing, further down the right-wing rabbit hole as far as doing the election-denying conspiracy stuff and COVID conspiracies and disinformation. And there it is, fully buying into the Fox News Onan kind of line. I feel like it's really further radicalized him in a lot of ways. He's been immersed in a 20... This is an important phrase. He has been immersed in a 24-hour news cycle of fear and paranoia, and then the NRA pushing the stand your ground stuff and that you have to defend your home. When I heard what happened, I was appalled and shocked that it transpired, but I didn't disbelieve that it was true. The second I heard it, it was like, yeah, I could see him doing that. Asked if he thought Grandpa was a racist, he said, I believe there have been some positions that he's held that have been bigoted or sort of disparaging. Again, this should be bold in the article. But it's stock Fox News, conservative American stuff. It's anybody who gets an abortion is a murderer, and fatherless black families are the reason why crime exists in this country. It's stuff everybody's heard at the Thanksgiving table every year. And his paranoia was just getting worse. I hesitate to say he got more extreme, Clint Ludwig continued, because all this stuff has been extreme. And it's been the same story for decades and decades and generation to generation of people believing the same things. It's just that people nowadays are acting on it more. His grandson went on to say, back in his younger days, he would be involved in shooting sports, and I don't necessarily have a problem with using guns and having guns. It's the paranoia that I think is the real issue. Well, paranoia and a guy who doesn't have guns is not nearly as dangerous as paranoia and a guy who does. Then he talked about the fact that it's really easy to get lost in those neighborhoods, which is something that Scott in San Diego mentioned a couple of nights ago. It truly is easy to get lost in those neighborhoods. The streets look the same. I used to get lost riding my bike in that neighborhood when I was a kid. Ralph Jarl did nothing wrong by showing up at the wrong house, which is an honest, easy mistake, and the fact that it was almost a death sentence is disgusting. But Clint Ludwig's bigger, older brother by a couple of years is apparently a dick. He tried the same excuse that the guy in New York's lawyer tried that we talked about yesterday. The shooting didn't happen for no reason. I mean, a lot of mistakes all the way around were made. My grandpa's side isn't being reported. Well, at least that family had one decent kid. But there it is. There it is again. And what's the look? I mean, to Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda is and long has been engaged in stochastic terrorism. But we have a fetishized approach to the First Amendment, and we say things like, we want journalism to be able to report with freedom of speech, and that means they have to be free to make mistakes. That's the thing. What Fox does is not a mistake. It is intentional conduct. They mean to whip people into a white, and I do mean white, hot frenzy. Because it's a good dollar. And that's the program. They've been roaring by lately. Friday on the front porch tomorrow. The fundraising goal will be, and thank you very kindly to an anonymous friend. The fundraising goal will be 1753. So we've kept it under $2,000. Thanks, Ken, for your challenge, and thanks to everyone who responded to it. And thanks to George and Coarse Gold for the challenge that got us all started. Thank you so much, one and all. It ain't easy keeping this going. But as long as y'all are willing to help keep it going, I'll be here. And we'll have these conversations. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you. To our a la carte contributors, thank you. To each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running neighborly conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Roger. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Please like, subscribe, share, comment. Please. Seeing some improvements in the numbers. It's working. What y'all are doing is working. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. For God's sakes, please stay safe. If you're eligible for that booster, get it. And yeah, when there's even the possibility that you're going to be around maggots, wear your mask in public, because they are a filthy bunch, a diseased lot. And you don't want the Arcturus variant. Ask Brother Deacon Asa. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. You do that, you up your chances 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, of course, if you happen to run up on somebody who says, you know, a lot of mistakes were made. That's why that poor boy got shot, and that's why that poor girl got shot. Well, avoid them like the plague. Because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.